All right, Alexander, we are here with Rod McKenzie joining us on the Duran for the first time. Rod, how are you doing? Welcome to the Duran, and where can people follow your work?
Well, you can find me at SEO Bricks Insight. In fact, I publish quite a lot of stuff on your website, theduran.com. But you can find me on YouTube on SEOBricksInsight.com.
All right, and I will have those links as a pinned comment as well as in the description box down below. So you can follow Rod's work and his analysis. And Rod, Alexander, we are going to talk about everything going on in the Russian economy, and there is lots going on. So let's just jump right into it, Alexander.
Let's do so. Let's absolutely do so. Now, as many will probably know, this is a subject that I've always been very interested in and have discussed on numerous occasions. But of course, I discuss it from a distance. I am in Britain. Obviously, I take an interest and I follow the statistics and the changes that take place there. But there is no substitute in talking about the economy of a country for being there on the ground. And Rod McKenzie is there on the ground. And so he's able to discuss with us what the current state of Russia is. And of course, he's been in Russia for a long, long time. He was there at the time, I think, when the Soviet Union itself collapsed, and he's seen the entire sequence of changes that have taken place since then. So firstly, Rod, greetings to you. Good to see you. Well, it's a long time since we've been in touch. Tell us a little bit about your impressions of the state of the economy today. Donald Trump appears to believe that Russia is on the verge of economic collapse. We get these reports appearing all the time. I've been reading about the enormous queues in the gasoline stations and how these are around the block, and about how Russian industry is grinding to a complete stop. But tell us from your perspective what you see the situation as.
Okay, well, I'll just address some of the points. I mean, you mentioned the petrol stroke gasoline situation. You have to remember about 28% of Russia's refining capacity is never used, because the majority of petrol stroke gasoline stroke diesel is actually exported because they don't use enough. And yes, there has been some damage and there's been a few problems. But as far as around the block, that might have been the normal traffic situation in Moscow, because everybody equates Moscow as Russia. And pretty much everybody knows that Siberia begins at the Garden Ring Road, right, or the MKVD. But real Russia, I have a petrol station about 250 metres from me, and they certainly haven't been queuing around the block there. My wife, who drives every day back and forward to school, certainly hasn't had any problems getting any petrol.
And to be clear, just to say where you are, you're in the Western Urals.
Yeah, which I'm in the Urals. I'm midway between Yekaterinburg and Kazan, and just above a place called Kazakhstan, which is the largest landlocked part of the world.
Yeah, which is, and by the way, we are talking about the big industrial heartland of Russia, the Urals. It's major industrial cities. One of the cities I know very well, which is Perm. I've had long acquaintance with Perm, but obviously this is, again, an enormous region, as all regions in Russia are. What is your general sense of the state of the economy? I mean, is it stable? There's talk that it's in recession. Others say that it's experiencing very high inflation. There's reports of stresses in the financial system, that living standards are falling. Others say living standards are rising. What is the reality?
Well, the reality is unemployment is at the lowest level ever since Soviet times. It's 2.6%. Now, when you get to down to 2.6%, it's the wool not works that are unemployed, not people who are looking for employment, for a start. Now, inflation currently is about 8.6%, and it's much higher in the West, although because the way that they do the retail price index, it should basically excludes everything that actually costs any money. So here, the major problem is the reason for rising prices is incomes are rising, not lowering. I mean, incomes in the last year have gone up 16%. So if you work that out, that inflation is 8% and salaries have gone up by 16%. That's in the private sector, not the public sector. But even the public sector have had 5% pay rises, and pensioners and social benefits have also been raised. Now, I noticed that Alex was in Moscow earlier in the year, in the springtime or early summer, ambling around Patriarchy Ponds, etc. Now, I bet he didn't see any sort of signs of serious recession and the streets not being cleaned or anything like that.
What about concerns about interest rates? Now, we did a program about this, or in fact, we did two programs about this, Alex and I, and I discussed how the central bank in Russia has a propensity to push up interest rates very high whenever there is an inflation problem. And they did that. And they have now begun to lower interest rates. But I get the sense that there was a lot of disappointment in September when it only lowered interest rates by 1%. Have you heard people talk about that? Is this impacting on industry? Are there expectations that interest rates will go down? And is it true that the rate of price growth generally is falling?
Yeah, I mean, the rate of price growth is certainly has fallen. I mean, for example, about a year ago, there was a major thing about eggs. Now, that was because of the bird flu and flocks had gone. So eggs were actually over 120 rubles for a pack of 10. Now, today, you can buy a packet of 10 medium eggs for 50 rubles. So that's half, well, less than half than what it used to cost. Now, as far as interest rates are concerned, now, yes, I know they are a problem. I mean, the thing is about debt levels amongst people and companies is so much lower than that. In the Russia, people are debt-averse, certainly the public. And companies, too, tend to look very hard before they'll borrow money from the banks, because nobody wants to borrow at 16%. Just remember England and or London back in 91, 92, when mortgage rates were at 17, 18% and inflation, etc. So now they're averse. I mean, most average Russians buy on credit two things, a house through a mortgage, and that's mainly with a hefty deposit, and also a car, right? Anything else, they basically save their money up for. So where you don't have credit card debt and you don't take on debt. So it's not such a severe problem as it is in the West. I mean, you take the Russian government debt, for example, it's 17% of GDP.
So overall, a stable economic situation. What about, for example, supplies? One of the things that people always bring up to me. By the way, I had it brought up to me recently when I was in Oxford, not at the place I was actually speaking, but by somebody, the famous pictures of Soviet shops with the shelves empty. Is there anything like that happening today? Are we seeing anything like that now? Are there shortages?
Oh, just to say. The only shortages, as far as I'm aware, is the number of people to fill the job vacancies. Now, they say that industrial growth is only going to be 1.5% in 2025 in Russia, after 4.8% in 2024 and 2.7% in 2023. Now, the Germans would give their eye teeth, as would Rachel Thieves in the UK, for growth rates of above 0.5%. So it's hardly a recession.
Mm. So an overall, a very stable economic situation.
It's totally stable economic situation that's balanced. I mean, you have to remember, Russia's not working on a wartime economy. It's working on a military operation. I mean, what's happening here is it's not affecting anybody. I mean, the day-to-day basis, yes, it is of me, because my nephew is a member of the Russian military who's involved in the special military operation, and I have close friends in the Donbass. So, yeah, I get reports. But on the day-to-day basis, it's more headlines in the UK than it is here. And economically, you go to a Russian supermarket, you'll find pineapples in December. cheaper than you'll find them in Sainsbury's in London.
Yeah. Well, this is something which Westerners perhaps find difficult to understand. And I think they also perhaps find difficult to understand that this stability that has been achieved in Russia has had to be worked for very, very hard. And that it is, in fact, something which Russians are very anxious to preserve because they had to work for it very hard. I said you were there from the time when the Soviet Union was created. I mean, I'm sure you can remember far more unstable times.
Oh, the 1990s in Moscow, where I lived, I didn't actually travel much out of Moscow apart from to a place called Tula, which is an armaments town. It's also where they make samovars, actually. And basically, it made the depression in the US look like a Sunday school picnic. I mean, life expectancy dropped dramatically. People went in government and state-run companies, didn't get paid for months, but they still turned up. I mean, if it wasn't for the dacha, and dacha is like a small holding that everybody has with a where you grow your own vegetables, most half the people would have starved. I mean, life expectancy for adult males in Russia dropped to 63. Fortunately, it's now back up to 74. But that gives you an idea of how absolute poverty was inflicted and the damage. Now, I've heard Jeffrey Sachs on your show talking about how he regrets some of the things that happened while he was involved with the Chicago Boys that basically decided that the shock and awe of economic treatment after the Soviet Union was necessary. But it was very, very extreme. And it wasn't until much afterwards. I mean, 1998 was incredible. When August the 17th, when the Russian banking crisis, and basically what happened is Russia had been borrowing on a monthly basis at 30%. And only raising as much money on a monthly basis to pay off the interest, not the capital. So it was a Ponzi scheme, and that collapsed. And, of course, the whole banking system collapsed. In fact, my favourite joke of all time is a guy walks into a Russian bank, and he says to the young lady behind the reception desk, "Who should I see about opening an account at your bank?" And she looked at him, and she said, "A psychiatrist."
And this is, again, something that people don't understand. Russian banks are now not just very stable. Most of the big ones, as I understand it, are state-owned, publicly owned. Sberbank, I believe, is actually owned or controlled by the central bank. And what about the new payment systems? Systems like the MirCard and all of those, are they functioning? And what's happened to all the other credit cards, the MasterCards and the Visa cards that existed before? I mean, I've heard that they're still functioning too.
Yeah, MasterCard and Visa are still accepted, but they go through what is known as the mere payment system. So if you had a card that was still valid, it runs through the same system. Now, the mere system is faster and cheaper than the old MasterCard system was. And I wouldn't be surprised if once the sort of sanctions against Russia are sort of forced away, that other countries start adopting this payment system because it's faster and cheaper than the MasterCard and Visa system.
Right. So where does it go? Where does the Russian economy go? Because Putin's had a number of meetings recently about discussing the way forward. This being Russia, they're very big on long-range strategies and plans and things of that kind. But I've been reading, I mean, this is the kind of thing that I like to read in my spare time, most unusual, but I've been reading about, what happens with gas turbines and new gas turbine series coming in and new aircraft engine programs coming in and about the expansion of industrial factories. Ufa, where you are, I believe is an industrial city itself. I mean, are we going to see further industrial development in Russia. Is this the direction? And what do you say to people who speak about this as a technologically backward country? I read a long piece in the Financial, well, actually, it wasn't a long piece, a very short piece on the country in the Financial Times, saying that Russia is nowhere at all, for example, in AI, that they have no AI programs. What is the reality?
Okay, let's go back from AI to technology. Back in the early to middle 2000s, Russia decided that it would export its hydrocarbons and commodities, and in return it would import European and American and Japanese technology and stuff. So things like turbines came from Siemens in Germany, trains came from Germany, all sorts of stuff. But when the things started to go wrong in 2014 after Crimea decided it wanted to rejoin the motherland after the Maidan coup, Russia decided that perhaps being dependent on the West, or the G7 if you like, was not a great idea. So they embarked on what was known as an import substitution program. And for the last 11, 12 years, that has been hugely successful. I mean, as far as trains are concerned, they've now replaced the Siemens Saipan joint venture with their own Logochka train. And that's now going to be built for a new high-speed railway that's going to link St. Petersburg and Russia and Moscow first. And it will take place over the next 3 years, and it will be opened by 2029, before they've even laid a line of track for the high-speed railway in the UK. Now, on technology itself, they've now managed to break the Siemens curse of building their own turbines for large-scale, not only power stations, but they're now using the same technology for LNG plants, because Linde, the Swiss so-called neutral, decided to join all the sanctions. As far as AI is concerned, I'm not fully averse. I think that the Chinese and the Americans are at the forefront of that. But as far as other technologies are concerned, let's remember, Russia still leads the way in nuclear technology and space technology. And, I mean, Elon Musk might be able to put rockets into space and put a few satellites up, but Russia's been doing that successfully since 1958.
Yeah. So, tell us what people think. I mean, is there a sense of contentment there? Do people think the country is going in the right direction? Are they grumbling about the situation? Is there a sense that, you know, Mr. Putin himself, maybe the time has come for someone else? Or are people saying, you know, we want him to stay because things are stable and we want to continue with him? What is the general sentiment? You said people have jobs and that their real incomes are increasing in most countries where that happens. In fact, in all other countries I know of where that happens, that tends to make support for the government grow, not fall. But, you know, maybe Russia is different. Tell us what your sense of the situation.
Putin's overall approval rating is +80%. Now, that's an approval rating that you could put all five of the European leaders of Macron, of Merz, Starmer, and his Meloni, etc. And you still wouldn't reach 80% because they're all underwater. As far as people, they're now, the only thing that's really annoying people here is if they think that Putin's been too light on the Ukraine and the Americans, and they should spank the Americans who they know are in the Ukraine, who are the ones pulling the puppet strings, and give them a serious slap. That's what ordinary people think. As far as the government, they have immense confidence in Vladimir Putin and Sergei Lavrov. I mean, they watch on television Sergei Lavrov humiliating BBC and other correspondents and making them look ridiculous, which is what they are. So, yeah, I mean, the confidence in the government is fine. They've got no quarrel with the government. apart from, yeah, there's a minor thing that they might increase a little bit in VAT, but you've got to remember the taxation rates here are ridiculously low. Where you live in a country, in Greece and in the UK, where they're ridiculously high.
Mm. Lastly, another subject which always gets brought up. I had it brought up again in when I was in Oxford, though again, not oddly enough by the panel I was on. What about corruption? I mean, because this is the perennial thing, corruption, law and order, all of that kind of thing. Is it as bad as it was in the 90s? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What is the situation?
Well, I don't experience it simply because I'm not involved in things that would say that. But from what I read in the Russian press, there have been about three or four governors in the last sort of 6 months and several other senior officials, including a senior official within the Russian Ministry of Defense, has been arrested and charged and been on trial for corruption. So it would appear that they are cracking down on it. I certainly, having had dealings with officialdom here on a business level, have never been asked for a bribe, ever. And I don't know whether it's because, you know, I'm the token Scotsman in Ufa, you know, or the man known as the foreigner or the Englishman, although I'm Scottish, that they decide that there's not worth hitting on me. I don't know. But corruption levels, compared with some places like the Ukraine, etc., yeah, it probably does go on, but I haven't experienced it.
Rob McKenzie, thank you very much for your very clear and precise and direct answers to all my questions. Very Scottish way of answering questions, if I may say, straight to the point.
Thank you, Rod, for joining us on the Duran. One more time, where can people follow your work?
You can find me on YouTube at SEO Bricks Insight, or you can find me on the web at SEObricksSites.com, where my articles appear and are published.
Rod McKenzie, thank you. Those links are in the description box down below and as a pinned comment. Take care.